of Nun Ches Amid Beis, two lines up from the bottom, Rav Sharvia, or Shravia, Omar, Hamani Rav Yosi Aglilihi. In other words, he accepts that the meaning of this brisa is Keren HaYisod, and you can prove from this Mishnah that the Mizbech was in the Tzafon, completely in the northern part of the Azor, but nevertheless, there's no remez, there's no indication in this brisa to that which Rabbi Yochanan said, that we can attribute the authorship to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi indeed is the one who holds that Mizbech was in the Tzafon, and that's how Rabbi Yochanan understood it on our Mishnah. However, Stam Rav Yossi Mishnayis is Rav Yossi ben Chalafta, but this Mishnah, the Mishnah in Midos, is authored by Rav Yossi Aglili. And it's the Shita of Rav Yossi Aglili that the entire Mizbech was in the Tzafon. As far as Rav Yossi ben Chalafta is concerned, he never said explicitly that the Mizbech is completely in the Tzafon. It's possible that he would disagree with that Mishnah in Tamid. He might insist that the Mizbech was half in Tzafon and half in Durham, like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why you'd be marchik a minimum of 6 amos. But we can prove, says Rav Shravya, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is of the opinion that the entire Mizbech is in the Tzafon. Disanya, the Braisa records the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili with regard to the Kiyar. The question is the location of the Kiyar, which is one of the Klei Shares that was in the Azara. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omer, he has a Pasuk, Miktoch Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Shmos Perk Mem, V'nasata es ha-Kiyar bein oel moed u'bein ha-Mizbeach. The Kiyar should be located, situated in the part of the Azara that is the space between the Mizbeach and the Heichal. And the implication is that the Kiyar should be unobstructed, so to speak. In other words, there should be a direct relationship between the opening of the Heichal and the Mizbeach, with the Kiyar in the middle. There's another pasuk there in the same perek that says, V'eis, and here we're looking on Daf Nuntes Amud Aleph, the ace Mizbach Ha'ola Sam Pesach Mishkan Ol Moed, that the Mizbeach should be directly in a straight line to the opening of the Heichal. And the implication is that the Mizbeach and only the Mizbeach should be B'Pesach Ol Moed, and not the Kiyar B'Pesach Ol Moed. In other words, the Kiyar should not be a Chatzitza to separate from the Mizbeach from the Pesach of the Heichal. The Pesach of the Heichal should directly lead to the Mizbeach. Now, how do you reconcile these two psukim? On the one hand, it seems that the Kiyar has to be located between the Mizbeach and the Kiyar, but yet, if that's so, then the Kiyar will become a Chatzitza, separating the Mizbeach from the Pesach HaHeichal. So the bottom line is that when we reconcile these two psukim, we derive the conclusion that we should make the Kiyar as close as possible to the space between the Mizbeach and the Ol Moed, but making sure that it's not, and that when we say Ol Moed, we mean the Pesach HaHeichal, making sure that it doesn't serve as a chatzitza between the Mizbeach and the Pesach Ol Moed. And therefore, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, how do we reconcile this? Heichan ha-yenosno, where would they locate the Kiyar? Bein ha-ulam v'la mizbeach, but mashuch kima klape dorom. So that the Kiyar would not be directly facing the Pesach ha-heichal, and at the same time be directly in the line of the Mizbeach, because again, if it would be between the Mizbeach and the Heichal, then it would be a Chatzitza between the Pesach HaHeichal and the Mizbeach. So therefore we tilt it, we move it towards the Durham, towards the south. Now, what we're going to say is the following. Then on the one hand, we have the Pasuk Bein Ol Moed Ubein HaMizbeach, means we're going to have to set it up in the Shetach, in that area, which is Keneged, which is directly in line with the Ol Moed and the Mizbeach, that same line. And we're going to have to be marchik it a little bit in order that there should be no chatzitza between the Pesach HaHeichal and the Mizbeach, but not too much. Because if we're marchik it too much, then we're going to undermine this halacha bein ol moed bein Mizbeach, because you're going to move the kiyar in such a way that's not in line with the Pesach HaOil. So we move it kima a little bit and not too much. And now Rav Sharvia is going to analyze exactly what Rav Yossi HaGlili is holding in terms of the location of the Mizbeach. And he's going to go through a number of alternatives. What does Rav Yossi HaGlili, Micah Sav, what does he hold? That therefore he says we have to be moshech, we have to move and drag, so to speak, the kiyar a little bit towards the southern side of the Mizbeach, which sounds like he's not applying the literal translation and demand of the Torah when it says v'nasata sakiyar bein oel moed ubein haMizbeach. We're not going to learn the pasuk kipshuto, meaning the plain meaning of the text, but rather we're going to have this interpretation that we move the kiyar towards the Dorum. Ikas Sover, if he holds that Kule Mizbeach Bedorum Koi, that the entire Mizbeach was in the south side of the Azor, then Nukme, we could set up the kiyar in a way that it would not be Mul Pesach HaHeichal, because again that would be a chatzitza between the Heichal and the Mizbeach. Ella, however, from the place where the Kosal HaHeichal begins, V'ladarm, towards the south, Bein Ulam LeMizbeach, in other words, you don't have to move it to the southern side of the Mizbeach. Now, we have a diagram here that gives us a picture of what's being said here in the Gemara. And again, you don't have the diagram in front of you, but I can sort of describe it and hope that'll explain what's going on here. When the Gemara says, Nukme Mikosel Heichal Viladorum, what the Gemara is saying here is that if you take a look at the Pesach HaHeichal, which is 10 amas wide, by the way, and you draw a straight line to the Mizbeach, assuming that the Mizbeach is in the Tzad Dorum, the entire Mizbeach is in the south, then what you could do is you could move the Kiyar to the Heichal, to the Kosel Heichal Viladorum. Meaning you don't have to move it in any sort of significant way towards the south, because if you put it right there, then it borders on the Pesach HaHeichal without serving as a chatzitza, without separating the Pesach HaHeichal from the Mizbeach. And the reason for that is because what you have is a 5 amma Pesach HaUlam Odef, meaning there's an opening here of the Pesach HaUlam from the Pesach HaHeichal. And if you situate the kiyar exactly at that opening, then it's not in the line of the Mizbeach, it's actually to the Dorum of the Mizbeach, but you haven't moved it actually in the Dorum. And that's what he says here, Yanicho Sobi Osan Chamesh Amos She Pesach HaUlam Odef Al Pesach HaHeichal. So you have that 5 amma opening here, which is a place that is, you know, is, you can, let's say if you were at the kiyar, you could see the Pesach HaHeichal without being in a direct line. And that would be Mekayim, the literal meaning or translation of the pasuk bein oel moed ubein hamizbeach with regard to the kiyor, because the oel moed is the heichal, and he puts the kiyor between the heichal, the kotzel of the heichal, and the mizbeach in such a way that he could see the pesach heichal. Whereas if he would be moshechit li'achar eser amos, then by moving it in the way the Brisa seems to assume, it would no longer be a kiyum of the pasuk of bein oel moed ubein hamizbeach, because there already there's a kosel ulam. If you move it towards the darom, it's going to be behind the kosel ulam, and there's no way that you can see the pesach oel, meaning the pesach heichal. And ve'inami kasovar, and even if you were to say that kedushas heichal v'ulam chadahi, that means that the ulam and the heichal have an identical kedusha. That means that the ulam is a continuation and it's a part of the heichal, and therefore, if we put the kiyor exactly where we suggested, then it would be in line between the Pesach HaHechal, or in this case the Ulam, which has the same status as the Echal, and the Mizbeach. So that's what you're arguing. So this diagram that we have, where we put the Kiyar all the way towards the Tzafon, I mean it's still on the Tzadarom, but it has an opening of the Ulam. So now we have a problem, but we can solve that problem, Gemara says, by saying Nukme Mikosel Ulam Viladorom Bain Bibain Ulam Limizbeach. Okay, this is another diagram here where you'll see that the Ulam goes all the way up to this line over here. And basically, we could be mekayim the pasuk kipshuta, the Gemara says, because according to this opinion, when it says ol moed, it means both the heichal and the ulam. And now, when you put it on the, you know, flat up against the ten amos, the line, the boundary of the ten amos, which is in the middle of the azara, and you're putting it between the kosel ulam and mizbeach, then you makayim the pasuk bein oel moed ubein hamizbeach kipshuto, and there's no need to set it up dafka between the kosel heichal and the mizbeach, so you could get your cake and eat it too. So you makayim both of these dictates. So why did he have to forfeit this by being moshech the kiyar all the way into the darom? V'inamikas savar. Let's try another possibility, says Rav Sharvia. Chetzio b'tzofa v'chetzio b'darom. If it means that the mizbeach is midway between Tzafon and Darom, half is in the Tzafon, half in the Darom, which, as we said, we identified that with the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we have 16 Amos of the Mizbeach on the Tzad Darom, then it's still a bit difficult. The Nukme Mikosel Heichav LaDarom Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. And again, we have a diagram here where you'll see that even if you assume that the Mizbeach is half in the Tzafon and half in the Darom, there's still no need to push the Kiyar all the way over to the left, or shall we say to the Darom, because if you smack it up against the Pesach HaOel, there's nothing blocking it. The Pesach HaUlam, as we said before, has a 5 Amos indentation, if you will, and if you calculate the Pesach HaHechel coming down as 10 Amos, coming down as a line to the Mizbeach, which splits the Mizbeach into two, then the Kiyar can be placed right up to that spot, and that would give you almost a 60, well, not exactly 16 amma, because we have to subtract 5 amma, meaning from the 10 amma of the Pesach HaHechal, if the Pesach HaHechal is right down the middle, so you've got 16 amma on the Tzofon side, that's the Chatzi Mizbeach, you have 16 amma on the Durham side, but you could smack up the Kir 11 amos away from the Durham towards the Tzofon without blocking and forming a chatzitza between the Pesach HaHechal and the Mizbeach. And at the same time, you mekayim the din of Bein, what's the pasuk again? Let's read the pasuk one more time, just to make sure we have the nusach of an asata sakir Bein Oel Moed La Mizbeach. And then the Gemara adds another point. And inami kasavar, even if I'll grant you that kedusha sa'ula vehechal chadahi, it's one kedusha, and therefore we can't place the kiar exactly mul directly at the Pesach ha'ulam, because then it's going to serve as a chatzitza between the Pesach ha'ulam and the mizbeach, and that we can't do. So then, instead of placing it immediately at the end of the Pesach of the Heichal, where the Kiyar would now be Mul Pesach HaUlam, is Nukme, let's put it, Mikosel HaUlam Viladaram. Okay, we have a diagram for that over here as well. And that means that the Kiyar is on the Daram side, and right behind the Kosel HaUlam. And if it's right behind the Kosel HaUlam, it does not serve as any sort of a chatzitza, if you will, between the Pesach HaOl and the Mizbeach. And once again, we're talking about a space, a width of 10 amos from the Pesach HaUlam, which is in the Durham, and the half of Mizbeach, which is in the Durham, which is 16 amma, and therefore the Mizbeach is Nimshach Achar Pesach HaUlam, another 6 amos, in which it's possible to put the Kiyar. El Olav, therefore, by process of elimination, the only way Rav Sharvia says we can understand the Braisa here is by assuming that Rav Yossi Aglili requires that the, or assumes that the entire Mizbeach is in the Tzofon, and the Gemara is still not 100% sure about this. The Gemara says, Nukme Bein Heichal Vila Tzofon. And if you'll ask the question immediately, put the Kiyar immediately after the Pesach HaHechal, between the Kosel HaHechal and the Tzofon, which means it's directly in the 5 amos of the Odef Pesach HaUlam on the Pesach HaHechal, and if the Kiyar would be between the Oel Moed, which is the Heichal and the Mizbeach, without any hefsek of the Kosel HaUlam, and Kinami Mukmisle Mikosel Heichal Vlatsofon Havile Bein Ulam Mizbeach. In other words, now at the Gemara is raising that same possibility that Kedusha Heichal and Ulam is one identical kedusha, kasav kedusha seichal viulam chada, and therefore kinami mukmisle. If you're going to set up the kiyar mikosel heichal v'latzofon, then nevertheless it's still going to be between the pesach ulam and the mizbeach, and that's going to form a chatzitza. Okay, that's diagram number 7 on this page, where he has the Mizbeach completely located on the northern side, and Kinami Mukisle Mikosel Hechavel Atzafon. Just one second. No, I don't think we're up to this diagram yet. Just give me a second here. Yeah. So the Gemara's language is the following: Kinami Mukisle Mikosel Hechavel Atzafon is Havile Bein HaUlam LeMizbeach. So the Gemara is saying that at this point,
since you have the Mizbech completely located on the Tzafon, you could put the Kiyar right below the Ulam, meaning the opening of the Ulam on the northern side. And there's no need to put it on the southern side. And that's if you assume Kedushas Heichal V'Ulam Chada. So the Gemara now asks, V'nukmi kol sulam letzafon, and therefore you can set up the Kiyar on the northern side of the Azara, beyond the Pesach Ulam, Bebein Ulam v'lam Mizbeach, and will be Mekayim the Mitzvah, the Pasuk Kipshuto, Bein Olam Moed, Bein Mizbeach. Why did it have to be Moshech the Kiyar onto the southern side of the Mizbeach? And the Gemara answers is another drasha that we have to consider. Omakra, the Pasuk says, again at the beginning of Vayikra, it says, V'shachat osal yerech ha-Mizbeach tzafona. And the Gemara has a problem here because it should have said tzafon and not tzafona. What is the word tzafona coming to teach us? She ate tzafon panui mikelim. Should be no kelim, no clay migdash, no clay shares located in the tzafon. And the kir itself is a clay shares, a clay shares. And therefore we should not place it in the tzafon. It has to be placed in the doro. Again, you might ask if by definition we have no possibility of placing the kiyar in the tzafon. Why do we need this entire explanation here in the Braisa to be moshech the kiyar to the tzadarom and the Gemara has to explain why we're not mekayim the pasuk pshuto and place the kiyar between the heichal and mizbeach. I mean, why not just say that there's no possibility of putting it on the tzad tzafon because this pasuk tzafona and has to be ponu mikalim? In other words, why did Rabbi Yossi HaGlil in the Brice have to bring the pasuk the es mizbach ha'ola sum pesach ol moed, and from that he's going to derive the conclusion that you cannot set up a chatzitza between the pesach heichal and mizbeach if it was mutter, even if I grant you that there was no problem of a chatzitza, he still would not be able to place the kiyar there at that spot because the tzafon has to be ponu mikelim. So that's a bit of a problem here. In any event, let's just give an overview of what we've learned here. According to Rabbi Yossi HaGlil, the mizbech was completely in the tzafon. The kiyar, it would not be possible to put it on the tzad tzafon because of the pasuk tzafona, and therefore the kiyar could only be on the darom side. Now it can't be exactly bein ol moed bein mizbeach because the pasuk says that there cannot be such a chatzitza. Is therefore the pasuk is telling me that we have to place the kiyar in the darom side of the azara. And it's got to be directly in the place of Bein Ol Moed L'Mizbeach. So it comes out that according to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGlil, the Mizbeach was completely in the Tzafon. That's why Rav Sharvia said that we should identify this Shita and the Mishnah in Tamid with Rabbi Yossi HaGlil. And there's no real solid source for what Rabbi Yochanan was saying in the name of Rabbi Yossi HaGlil, of Rabbi Yossi Ben Chalafta, that the Mizbeach was completing the Tzafon. I mean, that's possible, but we certainly don't have any clear source for that. And that's what the Gemara clarifies now at the end of this Sugya, Man Tana de Polig Alei de Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, which is the Tana who argues with Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. And he holds that the Mizbeach is not completely in the Tzafon. And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he the son, you have a Braiser, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Tzafona she ate Tzafon, Ponui miklum, v'afilu min ha-mizbeach. He derives a more extreme halacha from the word tzafona, that not only should the northern part of the Azor be clean and it should be vacated of any sort of kelim, but in addition, the mizbeach should not be in the tzad tzafon. And therefore, it's clear that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, the mizbeach was in the Durham. So we have now three opinions about the Makom HaMizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov locates the Mizbeach completely in the Durham. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that half of the Mizbech in the Tzafon and half is in the Dor. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili holds that it's Kulo B'Tzafon, and we can add to the Shita Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Rabbi Yossi Ben Chalafta, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now we begin a sugya called Mizbech Shen Nifgam. The problem is that if you don't have a Mizbech or a Kosher Mizbech, you can't do Shchitas HaKarbon and go through with the avodos of Hakrova. So therefore a Mizbeach, and there's a question here in Rashi, Rashi seems to say that this applies to a Kevesh, we don't know why, but in any event, in the case of a Mizbeach Shen Nifgam, it got a Pegima, like in a Shechita knife, you have a Pegima when there's a little nick. So let's say the Mizbeach, the Yavonim, which instead of being Shlemos had a nick in them, then the Mizbeach becomes Pasul. And the Gemara is now going to analyze the case of Kodshim. If they were shechted at the time the Mizbech was Pogum, are these Karbanos Pasul? The Gemara is going to bring now a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So let's see the Shita first of Rav. Rav says, Mizbech Shen Nifgam, Kol HaKodshim SheNishchetu Sham Psulin. In other words, if the Shechita took place after the Pegima, then the Shechita is Psula, and the problem is because basically a Pegam in the Mizbech means there's no Mizbech, and if you do a Shechitas HaKarbon when there's no Mizbech, that Karbon becomes Pasul. And he has a note here that the Keren Orach kind of vacillates about whether this din is a din in Shechita, that it's only a Shechita Kshera if there's a Mizbeach, or it's because the din that Shechita has to be connected to Zrikas Hadam, and therefore the Shechita has to be implemented at a moment when there's a possibility of Zrikas Hadam. And since the Shechita took place at a moment when Zrikas Hadam was absolutely impossible because there's no Mizbeach, or shall we say the Mizbeach is Pogum, then we assume that since at the time of the Shechita the animal can no longer at that point be royal as Zrika, the Shechita doesn't generate a possibility of Zrika because there's no Mizbeach. Therefore, even later on, if they fix the Mizbeach, it's too late. And that's called dichui. Umikra hayu biyadenu v'shachachinu. Rav says that I had a drasha, or there was a transmission of a drasha in order to establish this halach of kol hakodshim shenishchetu sham psulim in mizbeach shenifkam. But we don't know what the drasha is. The Gemara is very quickly going to bring that drasha. And Ki Solik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, Ashkechei L'Rabbi Shimon B'Rebbe, he encountered the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that's from Shimon, Deka'ama Mishum Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi, Minayin L'Mizbech Shenifkam Shekol HaKodshim Shenishchetu Sham Psulim. What is the source in the Torah for this halacha, that if you shech the karbon at the time of Nifkam HaMizbech, so first Nifka Mizbech, and then was the Shechita, the carbon is Pasul, Shenemar Pasul Kin Shmos Chav, Mizbach Adoma Tasali, Vizavachta Olav Es Ola Secha V'Yesh Lamecha. Now this Pasul is a little bit difficult. V'chi Olav Ata Zovech, when you shech the carbon, you shech it on top of the Mizbech, that it says Olav, the Mokum of Shechitas HaKarbon is the Ritzvah Sazorah. Ella, this pasuk is coming to tell us something about Shechitas Kodshim, that when is it Kshera, that's only Kshu Shalem, when the Mizbeach is complete, without any nicks in it, without any pegamim, velo Kshu Chaser, when it's missing part of it. So the word Olav here is coming to tell us, Begino u'bishvilo, Olav means because of it, that because of the Mizbeach, which is Shalem, therefore you can shech the Karbanos. And when Rav Kahana heard this from Rabbi Shimon Berebi, he understood, Omar Hainu Krodish Tamet Leil Rav. This is the Pasuk, the Drasha, that Rav had forgotten. In any event, it's clear from Rav that only Kodesh that was shechted after the pagam on the mizbech. The pagam came first, and then the shechita, then it's pasul. But let's say if there were kodshim that weren't shechted, let's say there were animals that are kodshim, he was magdish it, but it hasn't been shechted yet, and now the mizbech is pogum, those animals still remain kosher, and after you fix the pagim on the mizbech, you can bring that kodshim, that carbon on the mizbech. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Echad Zev Psulim. Whether you're talking about kodesh that was shechted after the pagam in the Mizbech, or even if they weren't shechted until after they fixed the Mizbech, but they were kodesh, in other words, he designated them as kodesh Psulim, which means that since after they were Mukdashim, after Kvar Hukdashu, and at that moment after Hukdashu, they were Roy Lakrov, and now a Pagam fell in the Mizbeach, at this point, Nidchu Me'akrov, there's no possibility of being Makrov them. And therefore, even if afterwards they fix up the Mizbeach, and they solve the problem, and that was Mizbeach is kosher, says Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot do the Shechita on this carbon because it was Nidche, meaning at the moment that this carbon experienced a pagam in the mizbeach, so to speak. In other words, when that pagam in the mizbeach occurred, and the mukdashim, the carbon, is now eino roi lakrov, then nidche. Once it's nidche, shuv eino nireh. It became excluded from the mizbeach, and it can never be re-established as kosher l'mizbeach. That's called nidche. So in other words, you have to have what's called roi l'shah achas, meaning after he was magdashit at that moment in time, the mizbech was kosher, was shalem, and then the mizbech became pogum, now it becomes nidche. Let's say, for example, he was magdash the karbon at the time the mizbech was pogum, that's not called nidche, that's called dichui meikara, and dichui meikara lav dichui, which is a sugya elsewhere. Okay, then, so b'maykomifli, let's now come to brass tacks. What is Rav and Rabbi Yochanan arguing about? Again, the scenario they're arguing about is clear. Namely, he was magdish behema while the mizbech was shalem, and then it became pogum. Rav would say, since he hasn't done the shechita yet, there's no din of dichui. And Rabbi Yochanan applies the din of dichui. We know that Rav accepts the din of dichui. Why is this an exception to the rule? And the Gemara answers, "Mamaika mifkli Rav sover balichayim enam nidachim." As long as the animal's alive, there's no din of dichui. Rabbi Yochanan sover balichayim nidachim, meaning despite the fact that the animal is alive and well, walking on all fours, nevertheless there's a din dichui in balichayim, even though they're alive and well. Rav holds that there's only a din dichui after shechita. And therefore, if he was magdish the animal, and then he shechted the animal, and the mizbech became pogum, now you can talk about nifsalu v'nidchu, because the animal is already geshachten. But if it was a live animal, even though it was hegdesh, and now the mizbech was pogum, there's no way you can call that dichui, because of a balchai that's alive and well, is not. There's no dichui. Rabbi Yochanan Sava, the opinion yesh dichui b'balichayim, that even with regard to live creatures and it's still alive and well, there still is a din that the kodshim should be kodshim and kedoshim at the time that the mizbeach is kosher. If the mizbeach is pogum, b'shas p'gima nidchu v'enom ru'uyim. So the whole machlokas between Rav and Shmuel boils down to the issue of dichui bebalichayim. Meisvei, the Gemara asks a kasha on Rav from a brayse. It says, kol behemos hakodshim shayu kedoshim ad shelo nivna hamizbeach v'yachach nivna hamizbeach psulim. In other words, if the hakdosha took place before the mizbeach was built, after the mizbeach is built, these kodshim are psulim. And the Gemara now analyzes what is exactly the scenario in the Braisa. If you goris in the Braisa, ad shelo nivne hamizbeach, that's difficult. Why? Because dichui mi karininhu. Dichui means when there was a moment of time when it was royal akrova, and then it became excluded from akrova. Here, at the time of akdasha, there was no mizbeach, and therefore, if that's called dichui meikara, if there was no mizbeach at the time of akdasha. So, if he was magdish the behema, and then let's say he was magdish the behema in chutz laretz, so I don't know, in Golos, and there was no mizbeach even in Eretz Yisrael, that would be dachui meikar mitchilasa. That's dachui. So the moment that he was magdish it wasn't roi lakrova. If that be the case, then we're going to have a kasha here on Rav. Well, actually, let me just make one point clear. In Dichui Meikara Ninu, the Gemara is saying that can't be the price according to anybody. No, it's, even Rabbi Yochanan rejects the possibility of Dichui Meikara. Rabbi Yochanan only holds that this Dichui, if it was royal akrova, for example, after the Hakdasha, the Mizbech became Pogum, but if on the other hand it was magdish the animal when there was no mizbech at all in the world, that's not considered dachui, that's considered dichui meikara. And therefore we have to change the girsa in this brisa. And the brisa has to read the following way. Kol hakodshim shahoyu ad shelo neras hamizbech. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash was standing. This is before the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, of the Beis HaMikdash. And there were kodshim, while the Beis HaMikdash was standing, they were still alive until the Beis HaMikdash, let's call it the Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, was built to replace the first one. And clearly, this is a raya to Rabbi Yochanan and Kash on Rav, because Rav says, Ein bali chayim nidochim biyodam b'chayim. Here, the Bryce is applying the din, the principle of dihui, despite the fact that we're talking about bali chayim, which according to Rav are not subject to dihui. So it's clear from this Bryce that if you magdish a karbon before the destruction of the Mizbeach, after the destruction of the Mizbeach, that carbon, even though it's alive and well, is considered dichui. And that supports clearly the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan against Rav. So the Gemara says the following. If this case in the Brice is a case of behemos that were mukdoshim before Neras, before the Mizbeach, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and these behemos remained alive, and now you want to ask me the question, well, can he be makriv this behema after the second Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? And you want to tell me that in this case it was dichui meikara because he was magdashid before the Mizbech was set up. The Gemara says, ha is the kun lahu, there's halacha of zkenim, there's halacha of an animal that was mugdash, it has din of kedushas karmon, but he never brought the animal to the mizbeach, and the animal now became an alta behema, an alta ferd. It became an old behema, and halacha is behemas kenos psul karmon. So therefore, forget about the din of dichui. The Braisa didn't have to talk and introduce the din of dichui here. The Braisa could have justified the psul here by virtue of the fact that it's an old animal. Now, between the Churban of Bais Rishon at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the rebuilding of the Bais Sheni at the time of Koresh at the hands of Ezra Nehemiah, that was a 7-day period. And certainly the animal is now as a Kena. Ella says the Gemara, you should have a girsa in the Braisa, kol hakodshim shehugdashu ad shelo nifgam hamizbeach v'acharkach nifgam hamizbeach psulin. He was magdish the karmon when the Mizbeach was full and perfectly in order. And then, Nifgam HaMizbeach, the Karban is possible. And this is a question on Rav, because Rav says that if the animal is alive well, it's not Shaykh, it doesn't, Eino Nitfas B'Dichui. This would certainly clearly support Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara answers, "Velo terutze komitaretzes." Can't you fix up the gears of the Brisa in order to reconcile it with Rav? Ema, let's suggest the following possible girsa: kol hakodshim shenishchetu. Meaning, we're not talking about this price on kodshim shehukdashu, and they're still alive, but rather we're talking about kodshim that were shechted before the pegim on the mizbeach, and now then nidochim because it's impossible to be zorik the dam, and therefore in shkutim there should be a din of dichui. By adding this girsa of shenishchetu, we could defend Rav and say this is not Bali Chaim. It's not a din of dichui on Bali Chaim. It was after Shechita. And after Shechita, there was a pegim on the Mizbeach. The Gemara now asks a different kash on Rav. From another statement that Rav himself made. V'omar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Mizbeach Shed Nekar Makdirin Ktoris Bimkomo. It means that the Kedusha for Hakrova and Haktora applies not just to the Mizbeach itself, but even if there is no Mizbeach, to the space that was occupied by the Mizbeach. You can be Makdir the Ktoris, which requires Mizbeach, in this case Mizbeach HaPnimi, in the place of the Mizbeach, if the Mizbeach was Nekar Mimkomo. So in other words, even if the Mizbeach is not there at all, you could still be Makdir the Ktoris. And the Gemara understands that that din should apply to Mizbeach HaChitzon as well. And even though there's no Mizbeach, nevertheless Rav says that you're permitted, it's allowed, it's mutter, to do all the avodos on the makom of the Mizbeach, as if the Mizbeach was Chai V'Kayim. And therefore the question now arises, how did Rav say that if the Mizbeach is pogum, all the kodshim that's shechted in the Azor become posel? In fact, this makes no sense, because even avodos hatzrichos leyoseis al gabi Mizbeach is ksheros. You know, just because there's a pogam in the Mizbeach, that shouldn't upset us all, because even if there's no Mizbeach, what we need is the makom Mizbeach, and that we have. Kidomar Rava, and this is supported by a statement of Rava Shemodahoy Rabbi Yehuda Bidomim. In other words, even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that Shlomo HaMelech, as we'll soon see, was Makadish all the Azorah, the entire Ritzvah Azorah with the Kedusha Mizbeach, so now there can be Makriv Karbonos on the Ritzvah Azorah, nevertheless, Mikomakom, Mode, Shezrika Saddam, says Rava, Tzricholiosus dafgal gabi hamizbeach atzmo, the mizbeach itself. And the source for this is a pasuk in Bamidbar Yidches es domam tizrok al mizbeach ves chelbam hiktir. Now, he mentions the mizbeach, but we might say he's mentioning the mizbeach because of zrikas adam, and not because of haktorah. So yesh lumot she'af bi'ofet she'huta lahaktir al kol ritzvah sazor mikomakom zrikas adam tzricho lios dafka b'mizbeach. So there's no possibility of doing the zrikas adam without a mizbeach. And that's what Rava means when he says that Rabbi Yehuda is moda in the case of domim, that the zrikas adam has to be done, must be done on the mizbeach itself. Hachinami here too, in the sheet of Rav, Moda Rav Bidomim, Rav has to be Moda that the Zrika Saddam, if it's impossible to do it except on a Mizbeach Kosher, if there's no possibility to be Zorik the Dama Korban, then the Kodshim Shenishkatu Nidchu Vinifsalu. Let's just review the stira here, Lechora, between two statements of Rav. On the one hand, Rav says that if the animal was shechted and the mizbeach is pogum, then we apply the principle of dichui, because there's no way you could be makriv the korban without a mizbeach. And on the other hand, Rav seems to assume that you can be makriv a carbon without the mizbech, because he says behema shenekar, mizbech shenekar is maktir in ketores b'mkoma. That is a kedushas makom a mizbech without the mizbech itself. So how could we say that if there's no mizbech, you could do the akrova, and yet Rav says that if there's a pagam on the mizbech, then the shechita becomes a shechita psul. Here he's saying you could be makriv it even without, even in the absence of the mizbech. How much more so in the case of a mizbech pogum? So the Gemara answers by quoting Rava. Rava said in a different context, which we'll get into very soon, with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, that as far as damim is concerned, the zrikas hadam, we must have a mizbech. And here too, Rav is moda that for the zrikas hadamim, we must have the mizbech itself. We can't just say, well, there was once a mizbech there. And therefore, in the case of shechitas hakarbon with a mizbech pogum, the shechita is going to be a shechita psula, because there's no possibility of zrikas hadam. The Gemara now comes back to disclose a full disclosure, so to speak, on Rabbi Yehuda. And my Rabbi Yehuda, what was the statement of Rabbi Yehuda about which Rava said Moda Rabbi Yehuda with Zrikas Hadam? Now, in order to appreciate Rabbi Yehuda's statement, we have to go back to the parsha of Chanukas HaMizbeach, which is in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches, and the pasuk says, "Bayom Ahu Kidesh HaMelech Tochech Chotzer Asher Lifnei Beis Hashem Ki Mizbach HaNechoshes Asher Lifnei Hashem Koton Mehochil Es HaOlov Es HaMincha Ves Chelbe Ashlomim." And the Braisa records the Shita of Yehuda. He interprets as this pasuk kipshuto kiksavam, meaning that there was not enough makom, there was not enough place on the Mizbeach itself, the Mizbeach of Shlomo Melch at the time of Chanukas HaMizbeach. There were too many karbonos, and therefore Shlomo Melch had to be mekadesh the Ritzvah HaZorah in such a way that it would be Kedushas Mizbeach to the Ritzvah HaZorah. And he would be able to put a marocha of Eish on the floor, on the Ritzvah HaZorah, and be makriv there the karbonos. Again, that's if you take this pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perkhes, literally, and there was simply no room on the Mizbeach for all the myriads of karbonos that Shlomo Melch brought on that day, and therefore he had to be mekadesh the Ritzvah in such a way that the Ritzvah could now serve as an extension of the Mizbeach, and he could be makriv on the Ritzvah Sazara. Amalo Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi turns to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says to him, "Follow my look for Nemar. Here we're on the Testament base. How can you tell me that the Mizbech of Shlomo was too small to be makriv the karbonos of that day? Valok far Nemar, the Torah says in that parasha of Melachim Aleph that Elef Olos Yale Shlomo Mizbech Hahu, that on the Mizbeach, the original Mizbeach that was taken from the Mishkan, what's called the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, that was made by Moshe and Bezalel, when it was in Givon, because when Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, they set up a Mishkan in Gilgul, and then after 14 years, when they finished the Kibush HaAretz, they set up a Mishkan in Shiloh, and there they established a Mizbeach, the Mizbeach of Moshe, meaning they took the Mizbeach of Moshe with them, crossing, as it were, the Yarden, and setting it up in Mishkan Shiloh. And Mishkan Shiloh stood for 369 years. From the time of Eli, it was Chariv HaMikdash Shiloh, during the lifetime of Eli. Then they set up a Mishkan in Nov, and after Shaul HaMelech Nebuch destroyed out the city of Nov, they set up the Mishkan in Givon. So the days of Nov and Givon, all told, come to 57 years. And in the fourth year, of Shlomo Melech's Malchus serving as a king. He took the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu and he put it into Geniza, and he replaced it by building the Beis HaMikdash with a Mizbach Avonim. All this is clarified by the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos. And again, if even though this Pasuk is not referring L'chora to the Mizbach HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu, because when it says Katon, it means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach of Shlomo was too small. But rather, we're going to have to say that it means the Mizbeach of Shlomo that replaced the Mizbeach Katon, and it was Katon Midai. So now Rabbi Yossi asks Rabbi Yehuda the following question. It says clearly that Shlomo Melech brought 1,000 olos on the original Mizbeach, the smaller Mizbeach, that of the Nechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this took place while the people of Israel were in Givon, the Mishkan was in Givon, and they were makriv, Shlomo Melech was makriv, 1,000 olos b'yom echad, 1,000 olos on one day. Then we get to the Mizbach Avonim, the Beis Olamim, in the Beis HaMikdash. And who Omer, the Pasuk says, Vayizbach Shlomo es Zevach HaShlomim asher Zovach Hashem Lashem Baboker Esrim Ushnayim Elef Vitzon Mea V'Esrim Olef. On the day of Chanukah HaMikdash, the number of Karbonos that had to be brought on the Mizbeach were 142,000. That means we're adding the 120,000 of tzon to the 22,000 of bakar, and we end up with 142, let's see if that number is the right number, 142. Right, 142,000 karbonos. Now, says Rabbi Yossi Kishata Magia Lecheshbin Olos Leminyan Amos, if you make a calculation of how many olos they were able to bring on each Amma, per Amma, and how many Amos was the Mizbach Avonim of Shlomo Melech it's called Odev, Al Mizbach HaNechoshes Shasa Moshe. What you'll find is, Ze Gadol Mizeh, the Mizbach of Shlomo was so much larger than the Mizbach HaNechoshes of Moshe, that it was large enough to host, if you will, 142,000 olos on one day. So therefore, it's impossible to say that what was missing for Shlomo Melech was a makom lahakriv es kol hakarbonos. That's not so. Elamau katon mehachil. What does the pasuk mean when it says katon mehachil? It's referring not to the Mizbach Avonim of Shlomo, as Rabbi Yehuda would have it, but rather to the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mizbeach HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu was considered Katon. Ke'odom ha'omer lechavero ploni nanosu. Right, he knows of a midget, and he says, this is the midget of so-and-so. And therefore, posel avoda. In other words, that person who he defines and describes as a nanos is posel avoda. And therefore, kshaomer zos biloshen yofe, he doesn't mention his psuls, he just says he's a nanos. That's like loshen nikia. He's being very subtle about it. And therefore we should interpret the Pasuk as if it intended to tell us that the binyan of Shlomo HaMelech, of the Mizbach Havonim, Pasali Olamis Mizbach HaNechoshes Shasam Moshe, so the new upgraded and rectified Mizbeach now replaces the original Mizbeach. Elisha Mipnei HaKavod Nakar HaKosu B'Loshon Shemizbeach Kota Shemizbeach Kota Mehechal, without mentioning its psul. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Rabbi Yehuda Shapir Koma Rabbi Yossi. In other words, Rabbi Yossi has already proven to us that there's enough makom on the Mizbeach for 400,000 karbonos. Shlomo actually brought less than 400,000. And therefore the question arises, why did Shlomo have to be mekadesh the Ritzpah? There was in fact enough room on the Mizbeach of Shlomo to host these 400,000 karbonos. So why was it necessary for him, Shlomo Melech, to be mekadesh the Ritzpah? Is Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei? That which Rabbi Yehuda says is l'shita, so diyom Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbeach, or Mizbeach Nechosha Shasa Moshe Gadol Haya, it was larger than 500 Amos on 500 Amos, and therefore when you make the cheshbon of Elef Olos, it would mean that the Mizbeach of Shlomo Melech Haya Odeif Olav, it was greater in size than that of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, and you will clarify that Lo Haya Dai Makom L'Chol Olamos Olos Shel Shlomo. There was no way that you could bring all of those Olos on the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara brings a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi with regard to the size of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Desanya, the Braisa records the following. It says with regard to the Mizbeach of Moshe, Vasisa HaMizbeach Atzei Shittim Chamesh Amos Orech V'Chamesh Amos Rochav Rabua Yia Mizbeach Dvarm Kiksovim de Rabbi Yossi. Here now Rabbi Yossi is taking the pasuk literally kipshuto, and he holds that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to create a Mizbeach Gadol that was 5 Amos on 5 Amos. Rabbi Yudomer Nemar Kan, with regard to Mizbeach of Moshe, it says Ravua, it has to be square. V'nemar Lahalon, with regard to a Makom for the Mareches HaMizbeach, about which Yechezkel prophesies, Rabua, that Yechezkel said the ancestor has to have, Mizbeach has to have Ravua, it has to be exactly square, and this is derived from a pasuk in Yechezkel, V'ariel Shtemesre Orech V'Shtemesre Rochav Ravua El Arba Revo'ov. And the Gemara now is dashing Gzeir Shom Mala Halon, just like in the case of Yechezkel, Me'am Tza Iso Haya Modeid, he would set up his measuring from the middle, Shahayu Bo Shtemesre Amos L'Chol Tzad, is Afkan here too, by Moshe Rabbeinu Me'am Tza Iso Haya Modeid, it would be Chamesh Amos L'Chol Tzad. So the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu set up was the size of Eser Amos al Eser Amos. Now you have to remove from that the Amma for the Sovev and the Amma for the Chuta Sikra. And that's Lehiluch Ragli Akoanim. Is Nimtza, it comes out that the Marocha was 6 Amos on 6 Amos. 6 Amos square, which means 36 Amos Merubaos, that are square. V'al Shetach Zeh Hikriv Shlomo Elef Olos. Now, if the entire size of the Mizbeach of Moshe was Sheshesre Al Shesh Amos, or 36 square Amos, And that's the shetach on which Shlomo Melech was meant to bring elef olos. Is the ficheish min zel mizbech avonim shel Shlomo haya efshal lahakriv rak ke'echad asar elef olos. So if Shlomo is makriv 142,000 olos as karbonos, and you're talking about a mizbeach which can only host, I'm using that word, 11,000 olos, then we have to begin to understand that Rabbi Yehuda must have had a different pshat in the pasuk when he said that the mizbeach kata mehechil is a reference to Shlomo HaMelech, meaning that Shlomo would have to now be mekadish the Ritzvas HaZora. So if Mayam Tzeiso Hayam Modeh, then the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 5 Amos on each side, and if the Mizbeach of Moshe was 10 Amos by 10 Amos, now you have to remove, as we said before, an Amah for the Saviv and for the Kronos, and an Amah for the Saviv and the Hiluch of Raglei Akonim. So the Maracha, let's say, was 6 Amos on 6 Amos instead of 10 on 10. It means 36 square Amos. What does that mean? From the Sfasovev Ulamala, that was the 3 Amos that are mentioned here in this pasuk that begin with the Sovev on the Gaga Mizbeach without the Kronos. And again, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the 15 Amos that's being discussed here, that's being mentioned here, is the Gova HaKloim. Now, if Rabbi Yossi would have brought a pasuk, this pasuk, and only this pasuk, in order to prove that the Kloim were more than 5 Amos, meaning they were Madifim, we would have preferred to interpret the Kavodas HaTorah here for 15 Amos, in other words, in the Rochav HaKloim, in order to be Mekayim the Pasuk of Vekoma Chamesh Amos Kipshuto, therefore he first brings the Hekesh of the Mishkan to the Mizbeach, and he proves that for sure the Pasuk of Chamesh Amos should not be taken literally, because the Kloim were much higher, were much taller than that, and therefore he then brings the Pasuk that we have in front of us to teach us that Govam was 15 Amos high. Now the Mizbeach Ola Amo Vekonas Amo. That's what we mean with regard to the Yisod and Ola Oda Arba Amos. As we said, the Amos Shishis was called the Karkov, which is a Reshes, a certain kind of a net of a call a reshes a net, and it had the rochav of 1 amah, and the amah shvius was the was the Sovev. So it's like a Ritzua, he says it's like a strip of a Rochav Amma which jutted out from Mizbeach, and it was made for the purpose of Noi, so it would be absolutely beautiful. And it's not like the Sovev which was in the Mizbeach Avonim, Shekonas HaMizbeach Amma B'Sof Amma Shishis V'Efshel HaHalech Olav. So that was, you know, to facilitate a place where the Kohanim could walk. And Li'achar Od Shtei Amos, there was a Gag HaMizbeach, that was the Mokom HaMarocha. And the Kronos would be raised another Amma. So from the Mokom that he begins, the Sovev, until the Gag HaMizbeach, there's a Gov of Shalosh Amos. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here on Daf Samach Amid Aleph. And we are up to Rabbi Yehuda Ki Gomer Gzereshava, which is on the third line down from the top of the Omer.